We were just beginning in verse 12 here. We covered that first part of the verse. It says, you know, rejoicing in hope. And then patient in tribulation. And we're going to look at the last part of that, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Being patient in tribulation, how do you do that? Anybody got the answer to that? Well, I believe one way is by continuing steadfastly in prayer. We need to pray because we need the Lord's direction, folks. The Bible refers to us like we're sheep. We easily go astray. We need direction. Amen? We need guidance in every area of our lives. I read a story about a woman whose 10-year-old daughter who noticed that her daughter was visiting their neighbor who happened to be Albert Einstein. And she wondered why in the world she was always going over there. And she didn't have any trouble with her visiting Albert Einstein because he was a nice man. But she didn't want him bothering him. And she asked, why in the world are you doing this? And he said, because I'm having problems with my math. And I've heard that he's a good mathematician. And he said that whenever I had a problem, I could just come to him and I could get help. And so the woman says that she was a little bit alarmed by her child's boldness, and she apologized to Mr. Einstein, in which Einstein said, "You don't have to excuse yourself to me," he said, "because I have learned more from the conversations with the child than she has from me." Now, I'm glad that Einstein here learned something from that child. We can all learn something from children. Isn't that true? But here's the point. We all are children in a sense. And we all need an expert mathematician, you might say. We all need an expert in life. And where do you find that expert? Well, the expert is the one who created us. And we need to find a place where we can talk with him and find counsel with him and we can find comfort from him. Today being Father's Day, how important it is for us to pray, to know how to pray. One of the greatest gifts, fathers, that you can give to your children is that of prayer, praying for them and praying for you and your whole family and your whole situation in life. And children, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your father on Father's Day and every day is praying for them, because it's not easy raising children. Amen? It's important for us to understand that we need to be led. It's God that's created us, not we ourselves. You see? And we need to follow His lead. His ways are the right ways. Amen? And we need to know this, understand this, especially the fathers this morning. It's so important for us to understand that God has created you to be the priest of your home. In other words, you're to take the lead and set the example. I heard it put this way, that God has called us to be filters for our children from the world. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is that a lot of times your kids are going to be touched by things that they need you to be there to keep them from being harmed by those things, you see. For example, it used to be that a thief or somebody who could harm your family would just enter in through the doors or the windows of your house. But nowadays, they come into your house through the click of a button. You realize that? And a lot of worldly ideas and attitudes are presented to your children. And so my idea is this, is that we need the Lord's leading on how to handle every situation because of some of the ideas that are being propagated upon our children. We're going to have an answer for those things, right? And for example, if your daughter comes to you and she says, "I'm going out," but she's dressed very provocatively, you know, you say, "You need to put some more clothes on." Amen. You have your son that comes and he says, "I'm going to go hang out with such and such guy," and you know that guy's, you know, the known, you know, pot smoker, or, you know, likes to party and stuff. You say, that's not going to happen.
Your son wants to watch this certain kind of movie, and you say, no, I don't think so, because it's not something that, you know, I would watch myself, you know. And so, you see, it's important for us to understand that God has called us to be a filter for our children, you see, and to make sure that they're not touched by that worldliness. But so oftentimes, parents, and especially this is true with dads. I'm sorry, Dad, but you know this is true, especially when it comes to your children, you know, is you want your children to love you, right? And it's so sad that so many fathers push the area of discipline off upon the mothers, and that should not be, because that really should be something the father should be doing. And you want your children to love you, right? Am I right? But let me ask you something. Isn't it more important that you love your children than that they love you? Sometimes true love, demonstrating true love, I'm telling you, it's uncomfortable. And it hurts sometimes. But I'm telling you, folks, it's what pays dividends.
The importance of prayer and seeking God's counsel for every situation of life that's going to come against you. And I'm speaking to fathers this morning, but I'm also speaking to the mothers here. I'm speaking to the children too. All of us. Prayer is so important because we live in a very troubled world. Look at Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. And, of course, it says it is to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Almuth. It's a very simple verse. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I don't care who you are. Usually you can't go a week without finding some kind of trouble in your life. Am I right? Thank God we have Him to go to, that He can guide us and lead us through all the valleys and the mountains of life. I think about how God instructed the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, where it says, But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land to which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that God is so near to as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him? Wow, did you hear what that said? Now, I believe all this is written for the children of Israel, but it was written for our admonition. This is Moses speaking to them. And the important thing is understanding here that if we apply the wisdom of God, it's for the purpose of other people being able to see what kind of people we are and what favor we have with God. When God answers prayer in our life, people take notice. They sit up and they take notice of that.
I was listening to testimony by Francis Chan the other day. He was talking about how there's some Jehovah's Witness ladies came to him and started trying to share with me. He goes, oh, great, I'd like to be able to share with you too. And of course, they're starting to get a little worried, you know. And he said, what are you going to share with us? And he said, I'm just going to share with you some testimonies, some answer to prayer, what God's done for me. And so the lady said, well, we don't believe God answers everybody's prayer. And he goes, you know what? And sometimes it's important, point to remember, sometimes you've got to find areas where you can agree with people like that to keep them on the line, so to say. And he said, you're right. You know, like the Bible tells us in the book of James, it says that, you know, that someone who doubts, for example, you know, and we know what it says in the book of Psalms. You know, we're going to be sharing that in just a minute, how it says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, but he said, let me, it's true. God doesn't, you know, answer every prayer. But he goes, but let me tell you something. God answers my prayer, you know. And so he began to share with them what God had done for him, and they said, well, that's very nice. We got to go, you know, which is usually what happens. And he said, but I'm not through yet. I got some more answers to prayer I want to share with. So he starts walking along with them, telling them all the things that God has done for him, you know. how important it is for us to be able to have God's favor in our lives so that we have His ear and He answers prayer so that we can have a testimony to those who are outside. Amen? People need to be able to see that God is for you and not against you. Amen?
Psalms chapter 121 and verse 1 through 3 says, the Song of Ascents. This is one of the psalms that they used to sing as they were ascending up to the holy hill of Zion, as they're going up there for the feast. And it says, I will lift my up to my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my strength. And it's talking about the tabernacle of God. And it says, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Amen. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know that if you are seeking the Lord and you are looking to the mountain of God, you're looking to the kingdom of God, you're looking to the Lord to answer your prayer, that He's not slumbering. He's able to hear you. Now, keep that in mind as we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Where did the high priest minister? In that holy mountain, in that hill, in that tabernacle, in the holy of holies. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, God's way, His direction, is far better than our own because He sees the big picture. You can find God's direction anywhere you are. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be anywhere that is deemed a holy sanctuary because you are the sanctuary. Amen? The Bible tells us that basically you can enter boldly right here, right now, into the throne room of grace anytime. You can enter into the throne of grace in your car, excuse me, in your office, maybe walking into Kmart, in any place at all. You can meet God there, and He hears and answers prayer. That's one of the reasons why when it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without ceasing. It means that you can reach God anytime. Amen? He's always got the phone next to His ear. He's always listening for His child to call. I believe it's important that we remember this. Not only during times of trouble, folks, but I believe it's so important for us to remember even during the times of blessings. Because if nothing else, we should be abounding with thanksgiving. And that's what the Scripture tells us to do, is to abound with thanksgiving. And so often we forget to do that. Corrie ten Boom wrote this. She wrote, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? In other words, why do you pray? Do you pray for the Lord to direct you in your life or just help you whenever you get into trouble? I think it's a pretty well-known fact that most of us probably wait till we get in trouble, right? But how often when we pray just because we want to love on the Lord, we find blessings and favor in our lives. Jonathan Edwards said, prayer is natural an expression of faith as breathing is for life. Prayer should be a normal part of daily living for the Christian, just like breathing is. It really should be. You know, and it's not, folks, prayer is not something where you got to come down here, you got to kneel down, you got to fold your hands together, and you got to make sure that you're positioned just right, or else your prayers aren't going to make it, you know. And people, we all get the wrong idea what prayer is. Prayer is just simply talking to God. Do you think if I, like, for example, if I'm walking along, you see me moving my lips, you know, you think, oh, well, something's wrong with that guy. I may be praying, you know. I thought it was kind of funny that we were watching the Giants play, and Jeremy Affelt's a Christian. And we're watching Jeremy, and he's out there, and he's moving his lips up and down, you know, like that, you know. And the announcers are going, well, he's always talking to himself out there. Now he's praying. You know, you can pray anywhere. And that's what God's desire is for you. In all things, pray. Amen. Talk to God. Because you need His guidance. You need Him to lead you in the way that you should go, because you're like a sheep that's stubborn. And folks, forgive me, but we aren't very bright sometimes either. We need God's guidance. The Lord knows that we have trouble praying. He knows our weaknesses. Even Jesus said this, that we don't know how to pray for things like we ought. Truth is, the Lord has promised to be near those who love Him, even though they don't know how to pray like they should. Because He's near to the righteous. And if you're not righteous because of your righteousness, you're righteous because of the Lord's righteousness. Psalm 37, verse 39 through 40 says, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord." Doesn't say it's from His own strength. It says He is their strength in the time of trouble. Isn't that just really just so good to know? He's your help and strength in the time of trouble. "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him." That's the key, is trusting in Him. I was talking to Denny yesterday about this. When you're sitting in a hospital bed like that, the enemy comes in like a flood, plants all these thoughts into your minds, and things where it reminds you of all your failures and everything else you can imagine. And it's those times where we begin to press into the Lord, you know, and it's there we find that the Lord hears and He delivers. Amen. And He satisfies you and He gives you peace. Psalm that's very well known that we quote quite often here. It's one that we need to remember. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of His servant, and none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned." Amen? It's important, folks, that we understand. That anything that we do that causes us to walk in an evil way, and just because you're a Christian, do not think that you are immune from it, amen, will cause us not to have God's ear in favor. Remember when I said that God has called us to be a filter for our children, a filter for our children. And I was thinking about this morning. I remember when I was a young man and I first got a car, changing the oil. And I was just changing the oil. I didn't change the oil filter. And my grandfather told me, he said, "If you don't change that oil filter, you still got dirty oil." And so my point is this. We can't try to instruct our kids in the ways of righteousness when we got junk in our own lives. Amen? We can't say to our kids, "You know what? You're not mature enough to handle this yet." I don't know where we get that at. That's foolishness. Because really, truly, a sign of maturity, you know, isn't that you reach a certain age that you can handle ugliness. A sign of maturity is when you have that mess out of your life. You know? We gotta get some smarts, I'm telling you, because the world is just so pulling the wool over people's eyes that they can't see the truth of how God has called us to holiness. In Psalm 66, verse 16 through 20, it says, "Come and hear, all you who fear the Lord, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." Now, if ever there was anybody who messed up, did things wrong, it was David. You know? But we see that David repented, and God was quick to grant him favor once again. In the spats that we even have with our spouses, we find that it can be very easy to have our prayers hindered. Amen? You two are just newly married. This is such an important verse of Scripture to memorize it down in your heart. Especially you, Jim. I'm going to put it on you first. Here it says in 1 Peter 3, verse 7 through 9, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." And then he says, and I think this is one couple of verses of Scripture that we failed to incorporate in the verse of Scripture that we just read, which are so important to remember. It says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind." Now, I believe that's God's desire in marriages, but I believe as a church, God's called us all to be of one mind and have compassion for one another and love as brothers and be tenderhearted and be courteous, not returning evil for evil nor reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, listen, that you may inherit a blessing. As believers, we have a source of blessing. We have a source of power that is so near and so available, but we seldom realize that. We seldom are able to experience the potential simply because we allow ourselves to walk in the flesh. James said it best in James 5, verse 13 through 18. "Is there anyone among you who is suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Isn't it nice to know that even the great prophets of old, it says they were just like you and I are. They had foul thoughts sometimes. They sometimes failed and spoke things that they shouldn't be speaking. But he was a man just like us. But he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Boy, I'm telling you, prayer is so important for the believer's life. So important. And fathers, today I want to encourage you to pray for your family like you've never prayed before, and take that role as the priest of your home, the rightful place. And wives and children, pray for your husband and father, because he does have a difficult role, a difficult task, because many times he has to be the one that is not going to be loved and popular with the ones that he has to discipline. But after all is said and done, after the kids are grown and look back upon this day, they'll look back with fondness upon their father because he loved them enough to say no. Love says no sometimes, amen? Actually, love probably says no more than it says yes. Comedian Bob Hope said in 1970 at Miami University, he said this, "It was a little easier to get through it in school in my day. The questions were just as hard, but prayer was still legal." And that's the problem we have today. People have been duped into thinking they can't pray. And so they don't pray in school, they don't pray anywhere. I'm telling you, there's nothing, there is nobody who can stop you praying anywhere, even in school. Because the Bible, all this talk, whoa, there's no prayer in school. Why? I don't know. You know, I don't know how anybody could know that you're praying if you wanted to pray. Thank God that prayer is still legal in churches. Amen? Prayer is so and so important. We hear people say, there's power in prayer. But I think they seldom believe it. Because if they did believe that there was power in prayer, they would most certainly spend more time in it. Amen? I think it's important to realize the most important thing about prayer. John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. How do you get that relationship? Through reading the Word and prayer. To have a deep, intimate relationship with God, you have to cultivate the relationship. You need to spend time together. If current is to flow in a relationship, there needs to be a connection. It requires listening and talking, an interaction of thoughts and desires. There's a missionary by the name of Roseanne Rinkler, who wrote this. She said, "Prayer is a dialogue between two persons who love each other. Prayer's real purpose is to put God at the center of our attention and to forget ourselves. Prayer is not a time slot plugged into our planners, but an experience of God plugged into our hearts." Amen? We should encourage ourselves constantly with the promises that we find in God's Word. One of my favorite verses of Scripture, one of my favorite Psalms, is the promise that I find in Psalms 91. It says, "Do not be afraid of this is in Psalms 91, verse 5. "Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day." Anybody here ever be tormented at night? "Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at your side, then though 10,000 are dying around you, those evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, and if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your house. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And they will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. And the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. And when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. And I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation." Isn't that wonderful to know? The very effort of the enemy to destroy our relationship with God is the very effort that should be deepening it. Amen? Our relationship with God is the most vital resource that we can have, especially when things seem to be falling apart. With so many breakups and letdowns running wild in the world, folks, it's wonderful to have something that's rock solid. Amen? Our God is rock solid. When things come against us, we need to remember where we can go. We need to always remember this, that God has never, ever changed his mind. His promises are yea and amen. They were good then, they're good now. And if we're not receiving them, it's because we don't believe them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And finally, let me close with this. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Here we have an insight into what God's mind is toward you. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope." That's what God wants for you. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. And I will listen to you. And you will seek me. And you will find me when you search with me with a few minutes, 6 minutes of prayer in the day with all your heart." Listen, that's why it says pray without ceasing. Wherever you're at, find yourself praying to the Lord. Amen? "And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." Of course, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. But again, the principle of what happened to them happened for our admonition upon whom the end of the world has come. "And I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to a place from which I caused you which I will cause you to be carried away. I'm sorry, and I will bring you to the place from which I will cause you to be carried away captive. So we know that the children of Israel were eventually carried away captive. But the ones who were actually carried away captives were the ones who had the blessings and favor of God at that time. The ones who did not have the blessings and favor of God were actually killed. You see? That's what happens with a nation. God judges us not only on an individual basis, but as a nation. So we need God's favor. We see things happening around us right now that we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to bombard heaven with our prayers. We know we have God's ear when we're plugged into Jesus Christ. But we've got unsaved loved ones. We've got children, grandchildren that aren't walking with the Lord. We've got children that are going through difficult times and struggles and that they need God's guidance or His leading. And folks, prayer is the only way that we're going to be able to overcome having God intervene on our behalf. That's why it's so important for us to continue in prayer. Let's bow our heads.